Hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10. Oren, you want to know a fun fact about this song?
What's a fun fact about this
song? So when I was in high school, this song was on the video game Rock Band.
It was.
And me and my friends used to play Rock Band 3 days a week after school, probably. And we got really good at it. I'm talking like national. So I think I may have mentioned this before. On the song Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria, we were nationally ranked as like the in the top 10 in the world for that song.
Oh, wow.
On expert mode. Yeah, we were really, really good at this game. And
okay.
Yeah. I was the singer. My buddy Matt played guitar. My buddy Dan was bass guitar. And my buddy Nick was on the drums. And we slayed. We got so freaking good at Rock Band. It was a little embarrassing. Honestly.
Rock Band, no, it's a fun game to play.
No, but like how much we played. Like we took it seriously. We really honed our craft. I knew where to hit all the like, because with the microphone, you were in charge of like the boost.
Yeah, you score boost.
I knew where to hit all the boosts, and I knew how to hit all the tambourine jangles. But More Than a Feeling was one of the hardest songs in the game. And I figured out that, because listen, I can't hit that high note.
Those notes are very high.
I can't hit that note.
Did you lower the register then? Kind of lower your register of your voice?
That is exactly what I did. And I figured that's how I figured out how to bypass, because what it would allow you to do was if you couldn't hit the note on the same pitch, it would allow you to lower your pitch and still hit the note. So instead of trying to hit that where my voice would crack, it would almost sound like I was trying to sing it in like a bassy sort of a way. But
there's a couple notes in that song that are ridiculous.
Yeah, but it would still register. So I felt like I was like almost cheating the system. I would still get, you know, a 98%, 99%.
No, that's what like older rockers sometimes do too. When they can't hit those notes anymore, you just lower the whole, like just kind of lower the song a little bit and there you go.
So it's funny you say that. I was watching the other day Metallica, back when they did their concert with the San Francisco Philharmonic Orchestra. And they were doing Nothing Else Matters, which is my favorite Metallica song. And James, for whatever reason, like I guess he felt like it didn't match the vibe of what the orchestra was doing. Instead of going high on the notes at the end before the chorus, he went low. And it just like, it made me angry. I was like, I want my note, James. I was like, what are you doing? You're depriving me, James.
This is what I'm listening to the song
for. Yeah, what are you doing?
Damn it, Hatfield.
Yeah. And so he would, like, instead of, and nothing else matters, he would go, matters. And it just didn't sound right. And I was like, you got the orchestra behind you? Like, what, are you afraid, James? What are we doing? And it was just a funny anecdote there. Talking a little music on a Friday, because it's a Friday in the summer, babe. What else are we doing? 404-726-0929. Before we get into some true-false questions, MLB style, oh, let's hear a couple of things from Raheem Morris when he joined the Midday Show. And the first thing the guys asked him was a lot of what the fans are asking and have asked me, what are you doing to get better, Coach?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well. Go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, ultimately all that. We know Raheem could talk a mile a minute, literally. So that's great. I had no doubt he would say all the right things, but we'll see when that first – Oren, it might be week one against Tampa. You got, you know, three minutes and 23 seconds left in the game.
Look,
you're tied.
Clock. Uh-oh.
You're tied 17-17. You're driving. You know, Penix shoots a
getting
deep one down the field.
Yeah.
You know, is he going to call the timeout or is he going to try to get them to hurry up? Like, oof. That's what we'll see. He was also talking about what Penix needs to show out in camp.
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together. And his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-year, the three-game sample set, you got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is. What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and be able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
Yeah, and all that comes with running the ball first and making sure you can hit the easy ones, as Coach said. All right, good stuff there from Raheem Morris, exclusively with Andy and Randy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, let's hit some true-false questions.
All righty, sir. Let's start with question number one and keep it here local.
Hot stove starting to heat up.
Hot stove here in Atlanta. Marcell Ozuna, most likely the candidate to be shipped out from this Braves team. True or false?
I'm going to say false just because.
Oh, that wasn't even the question. But go ahead and answer that, though. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say false because of the injury and the inconsistency over the last month, month and a half. It looks like he's starting to turn it back around, but that hip, it looked like it was rearing its ugly head big time all throughout June. Like, what? Now, here's the question. Like, if you did let him go, what are you going to get? I mean, not much.
That was the next question I'm going to ask. True or false, if the Braves do move Marcell, he does not draw back the other teams or a team's top 10 prospect.
Ooh, top 10?
Top 10 prospect. I saw today that the guy the Yankees got.
Ryan McMahon.
Ryan McMahon, he pulled like a 16, a 38 team prospect, according to Baseball America, from the Rockies.
No, Orin, I'm going to say no. Because he's injured, and he needs a new contract next year. And he's inconsistent right now. I mean, we know if he's healthy, he's good for 30 bombs a year, but he's just not that right now. I don't think they move him because I don't think they're going to get anything for him. Like, and then he's just going to – I don't think they're going to re-sign him next year because I think this platoon DH thing that we've talked about is what they're going to do. I think it's going to be
– Drake and Sean.
And Sean and then Acuna.
Acuna.
Yeah. So that – no. Because if a team offers you their 52nd best prop, like, you're just like, no, I'm good.
That really doesn't – at that point, is it worth moving them?
Yet? No, it's not. It's like, give us what you can for the rest of the year. We'll thank you and say goodbye.
Okay. The Mets have been checking in on Sandy Alcantara down there in Miami, but are hearing that the price is very steep. Don't know if the Mets will continue, but question number three, true or false. Whatever team picks up Sandy Alcantara in the trade deadline, he's going to be the pickup of the trade deadline, true or false?
I mean, good Lord, if you look at his numbers right now.
His last start, he threw in 7 shutout and had 4 strikeouts. So they were saying maybe that's a sign of things to come. But the first half, he's got like a
you ready for these numbers?
An over 5 ERA, right?
No. You ready for these numbers?
Let's go for it.
He's 5-9, .357 winning percentage in 20 starts with a 6.66 ERA.
Yeah, you want to have all those sixes.
No. That is a negative 1.5 war for a starting pitcher. Yikes. And listen, I get it. You know the potential's there. You know we want a Cy Young, but he has a 6.66 ERA.
That's not great.
No.
But then again, for a guy, I guess, with the potential, I guess, of what he could be. I mean, if you're the Marlins, too, I mean, hey, ask for the world and see if somebody will give it to you. But doesn't mean you're going to get it. But
I mean, in 2022, when he won Cy Young, he had an 8 WAR. He was 14-9 with a 2.28 ERA. So that's the ceiling. That's what, but we know a lot of pitchers get these injuries, and then they never come back.
Just never.
That's why we were so worried about Strider, honestly. So I'm going to, no. Ugh.
So whatever team trades for him, they'll have next year, he'll be in a contract for $17.3 million, and then they have a club option in 2027. So essentially you have him for 2 years of control. 2 years, $38 million you're going to be paying him. So,
and so they're going to want like a top, speaking of prospects.
That's going to be a top 10 guy right
top
there.
10, top 10,
top
5?
Top 30 guy, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm going to say he doesn't have it this year.
Okay. Question number 4. Mariners started the big moves, was it last night, by acquiring Josh Naylor from Arizona. True or false, Josh Naylor is not the last deal the Mariners do this trade deadline?
They could use another bat. They have a great pitching staff.
Starting to get healthy right now, too.
Yeah, I mean, they just got guys for days. Some guys you never heard of, like Brian Wu. You're like, who is that? Oh, he made the All-Star team.
Brian Wu's a really good pitcher.
He's like, oh, he made the All-Star team this year. George Kirby, who is that? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to say they make another move because, I mean, they've never won a World Series, I don't think, as a franchise.
They have not. Got.
They had the 116
epic
win
year
in 2001.
Lost in the
Yankees.
Yeah, Yankees in the CS, yeah.
And I don't – have they made a World Series since then? I don't think so.
They
had all those years with Ichiro and King Felix, and they just were never able to break through. So if they're in a position to go for it, why not?
Absolutely. Final question here, sir. The big bat, this trade deadline, Eugenio Suarez, 36 home runs right now for the Diamondbacks. True or false, Suarez makes any team he's traded to an automatic World Series contender?
No, false. He's a terrible third baseman. And I think that's why the Yankees went with McMahon over him, because McMahon is a good third baseman.
They took the lesser bat but the better glove.
And then you can put Jazz Chisholm back at second base where he belongs. They had like – here's the problem with the Yankees. They have all this payroll and all this star power. But for those who don't – I mean, I just check in on them because they were my favorite team growing up before I moved here to Atlanta. So I just check in. They had like 4 guys playing out of position. And you're not going to win – you're just not going to win like that. So this move for Ryan McMahon, who was the big deal of the day, allows them to sort of reset. They got DJ LeMahieu out of there, so now they have people back playing to their natural position. He should really be a DH, Eugenio Suarez, at this point. But he can rake, I'll tell you that. He's going to finish with 50 home runs this year, probably. So I'm going to say no, just because if they're counting on him to do anything defensively, that's a big ask for him. He's not a good defender. All right, oh, good job on 5 MLB True and False. Trade deadline will be here before we know it. When we get back, on a scale of 1 to Looney Tunes, how crazy is Jerry Jones? We'll get that answer and more as we check in with our buddy RJ Choppy, co-host of the morning show 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And the Braves do play the Rangers. We'll preview that series as well. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight. Right now we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy RJ Choppy from our sister station, The Fan in Dallas. A lot going on in the Big D. RJ, let's start here. Obviously, Jerry Jones came out this week, made his comments about Micah Parsons and the state or lack thereof of their contract negotiations. How do you feel like that message was received by Parsons in his camp? Is this just par for the course for Jerry Jones?
I mean, it's par for the course. Now, whether or not Micah's camp received it well is a different story. You know, Micah and his agent, David Mulugeta, I mean, look, David's a tremendous agent. He's a bulldog, man. Like, he's going to go get you that money. He probably did not take it too favorably. Micah, I think Jerry and Micah have a decent relationship. I think one of the things that transpired here is Jerry truly feels like Micah backed out of a deal. you know, Jerry seems to think that they had kind of a handshake agreement, and that is no longer the case. And I think that's part of why he is making these snide remarks towards Micah.
So when it comes down to Jerry and his public appearances, there's been a lot of hue and cry over the last recent years about him maybe losing a step off the fastball in terms of communication, in terms of team relations. Is that the sentiment in Dallas, or do you still feel like Jerry has a good control over the franchise?
Well, I mean, look, his control over the franchise isn't what it was. I mean, he still has the control over it, but, I mean, is he involved in the day-to-day the way he was in 1998? You know, no, he's not. I mean, he's got much more people around him. You know, Steven's a bigger role now. You know, quite honestly, though, like, Jerry and the agent and the agents of the athletes that he's talking to, I mean, they don't talk until the very end. The cap guy does a lot of the work. Steven will do a lot of the legwork, and then Jerry will come in and rubber stamp it at the end. So I don't know that it's anything out of the norm. There's an old adage, like, Jerry's the GM for a handful of people, and then Steven's the GM for the rest of the team. So if Dak Prescott had a problem, he would go to Jerry Jones. If the 50th guy in the roster has a problem, he goes to the head coach, he goes to Steven Jones, whatever. So Jerry handles, like, you know, he'll handle at the very end a lot of these guys at the very, very end.
Using your crystal ball, is this deal done by week one?
Man, I'll tell you, I keep going back and forth with this. I don't see why it wouldn't get done. Jerry seems to he seems to be pretty dug in here. And the fact that he thought he had a deal done with Micah, and that kind of went away, I think there's a much better chance today than there was 2 weeks ago. That Jerry digs in and waits it out and just tags him in the offseason of next year.
You mentioned Dak Prescott as we're talking with RJ Choppy, our good buddy over at The Fan in Dallas. What is his, you think, internal expectations for himself? And then what is the expectations for him from the fan base and from the media this year?
Well, you know, Dak's expectations for himself they're probably unchanged. I would hope they're unchanged. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's not an all-time great quarterback, but he's a good player. I think his expectations largely are the same as they always have been. The issue is going to be, you know, his health, and that's what the fans are. The fans' expectations are completely tied to Dak's health. You know, we think that if Dak's healthy, you know, he's in that 8 to 14 range in quarterbacks, and if he's not healthy, then the Cowboys are going to be picking in the top 10, 12 picks next year. The expectations really don't change. It's you know, you got to let's try to get to an NFC Championship game, because this team they're allergic to the NFC Championship game. At least it seems that way. And Dak's got to play a major role in that.
When it comes to the receiving core, who should we know besides CeeDee Lamb?
Well, George Pickens for sure. You know, that was the big offseason move they got. And people like him here. They are very, very high on what they've seen from George Pickens over the mini camps, the OTAs, and now the early part of training camp. And then obviously what they had coming in, you know, what we knew of George coming over here from Pittsburgh. He now has a quarterback to throw to him, and he now has a number one wide receiver opposite him to take some attention off him. So they're pretty high on George Pickens and his wide receiver core. This they think it's got a chance, you know, with Pickens to be one of the more premier units in the league.
A lot of change over on the offensive line there. You think it'll hold up?
There are two players that are the absolute kind of it's either a swing and a miss or a grand slam, and that's Guyton and Terrence Steele, the left and right tackle. If those two guys hit, those are kind of your swing players of the entire Cowboys season. There's a lot of worry about Guyton right now, the left tackle. He was not very good last year. And, you know, they wonder, is he for moving from right side to left side, is it just too much for him? Did he just not get it the first year? Or is he really just somebody that can only play out at the right side? They were kind of thrown by how much of a project he was.
We are in a situation here, switching gears just for a second, in Atlanta, where the Braves are taking on the Rangers in a weekend series. First of all, just as somebody who covers sports every single day, as we know, are you surprised at the state of the Atlanta Braves as the Rangers gear up for a weekend series?
Yes. Every year, the Braves seem to be a World Series contender, and it just hasn't gotten – obviously, y'all haven't gotten up on the right foot this year, and yeah, the Acuna injury was last year, and that kind of derailed everything. But yeah, oh, absolutely. We got one of your people. AJ goes. AJ Smith Sharp went to the same high school as my kid, so he obviously got a local tie in there. It was a bummer to see him get hurt earlier this year, but yeah, we were pretty surprised about the Braves this year.
What kind of Rangers squad are the Braves up for this season? It seems like there's some remnants of a championship team, but maybe not all the parts fitting together right now.
Well, you know, the offense has been a problem all year, but since Brett Boone got here, this team has been much better. Since June 7th, the Rangers have the number one offense in baseball, almost 5.5 runs per game. That is something that kind of snuck up on us because it doesn't feel like they have the number one offense since June 7th in the game. If they're pitching, they are one of those teams that if their pitching it holds up, nobody wants to see them in the playoffs. You don't want to see DeGrom and Eovaldi twice in a series. I mean, good grief. So that is they are kind of a scary team. The offense has got to stay stable, though. I wonder what they're going to do with the deadline. I don't think they're going to make any major moves. I don't think they want to spend any more money, but they're not bad. They're better than the record shows. They probably should have about 4 or 5 more wins, but they're dangerous if they get in.
You mentioned DeGrom. What has that experience been like since he arrived in Texas?
Well, I mean, it was like, you know, business as usual for him the first couple of years. He didn't play. He had, 5 starts the first 2 years here. I'll tell you, though, he's not throwing the same gas he was when he was at the Mets. And I think he's doing that on purpose. I think he's trying to, you know, hey, I don't need to overdo it here. Let's just make sure that this arm that I have, this second Tommy John, stays on. He's learning how to pitch. He's actually becoming a real pitcher. It's actually kind of cool to see.
Before I let you go, I don't know how much you guys cover UT on a day-to-day basis, but what are your expectations for Arch Manning under Sark and everybody else this season?
Well, their expectations are national championship. They feel they're the best team in the nation. I don't think that they're wrong. I think about 5 or 6 teams can say that they're the best team in the nation, and I wouldn't say they're wrong. It's a different animal, though, man. I mean, anybody knows. I'm an SEC guy. Anybody knows that going into this conference, you could have all the talent you want. There's a toughness level that you have to have here. When Georgia came in here last year, I think Texas was kind of spooked at how physical Georgia was down in Austin. They were not prepared for that, and it showed. Now they played them better in the SEC championship game, but obviously you had the Beck injury during that game. So Texas, they are very high. They think it is title or bust. I mean, that's probably the expectation. That's probably what it should be. They're probably one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the nation. You know, it all depends on Arch if he makes that transition the way they think he can.
Did you take kindly to what some of these coaches, Cignetti and Lashley, were talking about? You mentioned being an SEC guy with poking fun at the schedule and not going to 9 games.
I mean, look, I love Rhett Lashley. We've had him on our show several times. You know, he's an Arkansas guy, right? He knows better.
right.
He's going to say that. He has to. You know, he has to say that. You have to prop up your conference. And, you know, the ACC, I mean, like, he wants to say that they've had six, you know, we've had 6 champions since 1964. I mean, the ACC has had Clemson's won 8 of the last 10. Like, if that isn't top heavy. And all those 6 teams that he mentioned in the SEC have won the national championship in that time, except, like, Kentucky. The conference has had 6 natties and 6 different schools win a national title since 98. Like, that's not top heavy. That's just dominant. So, yeah, I just kind of scoff at that. I get it. I know why they got to say that. They have to. They have to say it. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to get their own conference propped up.
RJ, appreciate the time as always. We'll be catching you on The Fan in the mornings, and we'll chat soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
That is RJ Choppy there of the morning show on our sister station, The Fan in Dallas, chopping up all things with him. Didn't even know we'd get some college talk in there, but hey, that's where the interview's going. Again, it's a fun Friday here with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to hear a special guest coming up when we get back as well. Youngway Koo was interviewed by our very own Abe Gordon, and I'm excited to hear that conversation. I wonder if Abe pressed him hard on the competition. I haven't heard the interview yet. The hard-hitting journalist Abe Gordon tackles an interview with Youngway Koo. What is our veteran kicker going to respond to Abe's? You know what I'm picturing right now, Oren? Abe doing the interview wearing one of those old-timey hats that says press in the middle of it. That's how he was conducting the interview. We'll hear that, and we'll let you hear more from Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, Caleb McCary had to say as Falcon camp continues to roll on. Your home for the Falcons is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before I let you hear what Youngway Koo had to say to our very own Abe Gordon, who I said I feel like was wearing a press hat when he was doing this interview, one of those old-timey brown hats with the press sticking out the top that they used to wear back in the day. I don't know why I have that image in my head. Oh, we love you, Abe, so much. 404-726-0929. But before we do that, a couple more things I want you to hear from Raheem. He was talking about the new-look defense under coordinator Jeff Ulbrich and what that's going to look like as opposed to, let's be honest, the train wreck that was last season.
You know, we're talking about some of the unknowns, but you got to talk about some of the knowns first. The Jesse Bates of the world, like a consummate leader in this league, a consummate leader on our team, a pro, all-time, one of those guys that just makes plays no matter what. And then a guy that's really grown up here in A.J. Terrell and the leadership that he brings, the presence, all the stuff that he has. And then you got to go to Caden Ellis, the steady improvement throughout his career, starting as a part-time player, really getting here and flourishing as a linebacker. Last year, flourishing as a pass rusher and a rush guy for us and having the ability to do some of those things. And then you throw in a bunch of young guys, right? And now you add that second-year class, that first-year class, and it's exciting. Get a chance to see Brandon Trice today and Rook really get out there and go out there and Dorless and some of those guys kind of add to the party. Before we even mentioned the Georgia Bulldog and Jalen, and you're talking about Pierce, and then you're talking about some of the guys that we added in the secondary with Watts. Like, it is an exciting thing on defense. Talking about young, fast, hungry, which I've been around before and had a lot of success with, and I am really excited to see what Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive staff, can actually pull out and go out there and do some really good things with them.
Now, he was talking about the rookies there, some of them, and he went on to expand on that in terms of the expectations from guys like Walker and Pierce and Watts and Bowman. What are the expectations, Coach?
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about Watt, talking about some of the productive, like whatever you want to call them, secondary players, what you're talking about, stars, what you're talking about, you know, in the back end at the safety position, those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And the Steven started last year. We're talking about the guys we just mentioned in the Trice and the Rooks and the Dorths. Right. Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran-like flow really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up, have a lot of production in this league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
Wow. Coach, I know he's excited.
He's flying. Speeding through those answers.
Flying through these answers. My goodness, even more so than usual, I think, but that's just raw. He has an unlimited amount of energy to tap into, which is absolutely crazy. 404-726-0929. Going to let you hear from Youngway Koo in just a second. But before that, they asked him, what is Kirk Cousins' role going to be?
You know, it's different. Right? You got a guy that's played a lot of football in this league, a guy that's going to sit there and be a consummate pro. And I think it's a little bit bigger outside our building than it is inside the building. You know, when you're talking about inside the building, you're talking about a guy that's going to come to work, he's going to do exactly what he wants to do, he's going to be prepared, he's going to practice the right way, do all the right things, right? Outside of the building, it has a little bit more noise because of how the situation had panned out, right? He was an expected starter, a guy that can come in and play. It didn't play out that way, right? You got to play the best player on the football field at all times, and that's what we're doing. Right now, Michael's the hot man. Right now, Michael's the guy. Right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking over as our number one. And we drafted him to be that. And I'm really excited about our guy. I'm really excited about what he can do and who he is as a player.
Oren, why did he say right now? Oren.
Is that sticking out to
Why
you right
did
now, Chris?
He say right now? I don't like to hear that. I don't know. Now, let me be fair. Again, he was auctioneering that thing. 10, 10, 25, 25, 30. Do I hear 35 for the first row in the back? Look at the lady in the bright red dress. She's 45, 45, 50. That's exactly what Raheem sounded like. So he just might have not even been thinking. But he said right now. I don't know. There is no right now. This is forever, babe. We're locked into Michael Penix Jr. And you know why that scares me even more? Remember what John McClain said to us the other day, Oren? Wow.
Yeah, he thinks Kurt's going to be the dude before the season's
yeah,
over.
Yeah, so no, coach. Not right now. Not right now. Forever. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear Michael Penix is going to come in here and solidify himself and be the best quarterback this team has ever had, not named Matt Ryan.
10, 12 years.
Not right now. Right now? 18 and a half? Come on, man. 404.
The Falcons?
Yeah, the Falcons? We've had some doozies this week, man. Football is back, huh? 404-726-0929. All right, let's hear from Young Wei Koo with our very own Abe Gordon. This is interesting. Is he going to get his job back? Listen to this conversation with Abe and Young Wei.
I did a lot of, like, asking questions to the veterans that have kicked in the NFL for a long time of what their routines are as far as off season goes or in season goes. And it's I realize everybody's different. And for me, I like to build my body up in the weight room as a strength and conditioning block. So I do that for about 2-3 months and then get it back into kicking around like March, April.
Now, you're coming off of a year, you had a hip injury and things didn't go the way anyone had wanted. Is that fully in the rearview mirror? Are you feeling back to 100% right now?
Yeah, I feel great. I don't think I felt better going to a training camp yet. And not to sugarcoat anything, you know, it was the worst season of my life. And that's, you know, not that it's okay, but you got to put it past you and then move on. Just like if you had a great season, make the Pro Bowl, it doesn't matter. It's the next season up. And if you have a bad season, cool, next season's coming up, you got to get ready and go. So I try to stay in that neutral spot mentally so that, you know, you're not too up or down and you just put the work in, get back to your process, and try to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I think you were a Pro Bowler. I think it was back in 2020. How much does a year like last year help you reset mentally your career and kind of maybe find hunger and find drive to work back towards perfection, which you had gotten pretty close to finding?
Yeah, it was, you know, obviously, like, that was a great season in 2020, and then not so good season last year. Cool, like, I know what I'm capable of. I'm excited to get back out there and put the work in and being, you know, the best in the league, which I know I'm capable of. So I'm just going to put the work in and see what happens.
It is Atlanta Falcons kicker Young Wei Koo joining us here at Atlanta Falcons training camp. What's it like having the fans back? Last year, obviously, the construction halted that, but they're out there, and they were popping and energy and feeling it today.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I think, you know, you feel the energy of excitement from the fans, and which definitely helps, you know. Well, us just practicing, you know, ourselves and then having fans or, you know, at the stadium or whatever, it's definitely different. So we're definitely appreciative of the support. It does make a difference. And we feel the energy, and we're just only going to feed off of that.
You set a career long last year in a make. What do you think your legs got? Maybe not right now, but just ultimately as you build up towards the season, what sort of additional distance do you think you might have?
I don't think there's really additional distance of anything. They're going to put me out there for whatever. I'm going to try to make it. I know that.
We are coming into this year. A lot of people are viewing it as a competition at the kicker spot. How are you handling that from the mental perspective? And then has anything changed for you in training camp because of that?
No, not necessarily, because I was on the other side of the competition where I was a rookie going in trying to win a job. I understand how this goes. There are only 32 jobs in this world, really. So whether physically somebody's in here with you or not, you're always competing. You're always getting evaluated. So every day I go out there, I know that I have to put my best foot forward because you are getting evaluated by the, you know, coaches upstairs and everybody because it is only 32 jobs. So right now, yeah, we have a physical guy in here that is a competition. But at the same time, like, when nobody's here, I'm also always competing. So as far as that goes, like, mindset doesn't really change. I know I'm going to go out there and try to be the best version of myself, and that's the end of that.
I know it's always going to be tough to do in the middle parts of your career, but have you had a chance to kind of think back about how you got to this point with the Atlanta Falcons? Kind of when you come out of college and you have to take a year off and you go through the AAF, it's such a unique path to becoming one of the best kickers in the NFL. Is that something you had a chance to look back on at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey. But I'm not the first one to go through that kind of journey or the last. I'm just blessed that I'm in this position to be able to still live out my dream and compete and, you know, physically put the work in to be the best in the league. I mean, that's, you know, nowhere else I could, you know, dream myself being. And I'm just grateful for the opportunities that has gotten to me along the way. I'll reflect it when I'm done playing. I know that it's been a journey, but I think it's just getting started for me.
Just a couple more questions here. Young Weku, Atlanta Falcons kicker out at Atlanta Falcons training camp. When you go back, and I told you before we started, I'm kind of like the – I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado. When you go back and look at the progression of your run-up and your technique, there has been some changes over the past 4 or 5 years. What went into that, and what are you searching for as you adjust your lineup?
So outside looking in, it might be like really different, but there's a reason for everything that I do. It's not just like, all right, like I'm just gonna do it because I feel like it. It's at the end of the day, it's like, all right, what distance I want to be at from the ball, simplest term. And with whether that's taking two steps or one small, one big, whatever it is, I'm just trying to make it as consistent start point as possible. And for me, that was kind of the things that I have picked up along the way last few years. But as far as like leaning to my feel just a little bit, it's a balance of like that structure foundation of the, you know, consistency and then adding your feel to it so you can kind of own that and feel good when you're standing there. I think I was kind of balancing that, and a couple things kind of made me do some inconsistent things, and I really dove deep into it, and I feel good where I'm at. It's kind of a, you know, like what I was doing way back, and then obviously you're going to evolve as you kick more and, you know, just finding ways to be more consistent.
That is Young Wei Koo there, our kicker, chatting with our kicker aficionado here.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, oh, I'm an aficionado.
Abe, what are we doing, pal? You're talking to an all-pro kicker in the NFL. Man, that goes to show you, man. Like, really, some of these people that have these microphones, they live in the DeLulu land. I guarantee you that Abe Gordon thinks he could kick in the NFL. I guarantee it. And he'd be like, what? What's wrong with that? I mean, I've literally kicked 35, 40-yard field goals. Why can't I do it? And that would be his argument. You know, not that I'm an aficionado or anything, but...
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, you laugh, not the cry. That's really what it comes down to. I bet you Abe thinks if we put him and Young Wei out there, and like, obviously Abe can't kick a 50-yard field goal. So if we said from 38 yards, and you said a competition of who could kick more consecutive 38-yard field goals with 15 tries? I guarantee you if I called up Abe right now and asked him, he'd be like, dude, I'm good for like 7, 8. No, I'm not saying I'm going to win, but I'm good for 7 or 8 against Young Wei Koo. Let that sink in, people. That's our man, Abe Gordon, who's irrationally confident, but he backs it up. That's the frustrating part, Oren. That's the frustrating part. Like, he's a good athlete, man. He just is. Smoked me in the t-shirt toss competition. Runs marathons. Is really good in the soccer.
I'm not an aficionado, but
well,
like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
You are an aficionado. Talking about drop back steps and the like. The only one on the radio to talk about that, as well as professional slap boxing and a host of other insane things you can find Abe watching instead of, you know, watching normal shows. He's good though. I can't deny it. Like, he's good. He backs it up. He's, you know, he is the aficionado, so to speak. He's one. We have a radio station with Randy McMichael on it, and he's one of our better athletes. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's true. Oh, Abe, we love you. 404-726-0929. Good job chatting with Youngway. We'll continue the Falcons conversation coming up next as we dive into the 8 o'clock hour. Our friend Taryn Walk from AtlantaFalcons.com is going to report on the scene and tell us what she saw yesterday and what she expects over the weekend from the Dirty Birds. Don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.